Good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Hopefully this morning we're going to take a look at a group or perhaps a movement, if you want to use it that way or put it that way, whose deeds God says he hates. He is really upset with them. He was at the beginning and he still is. So who are these people? And what is this group? This group is found in one place in the Bible, twice, in fact, in the same chapter, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And they're called the Nicolaitans, a fascinating group. Now, you may think you know who and what they were, but let me tell you, it's far more widespread than that. And there's an aspect to them that I was not fully aware of until just recently, mainly because I had not looked at it from the point of view of a Hebraism. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. First of all, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the letters written to the seven churches. So chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the Ephesian church write, these things says he who holds the seven stars at his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test them who proclaimed themselves to be apostles and are not, and did find them liars. Drop down now to verse 6, which is the key verse for us. He had just rebuked them, but he says, but this you have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, this was a church at Ephesus, but they were not simply active in the church of Ephesus. Let's drop down now to verses 14 and 15. This here now, we're talking to the church in Pergamos, or Pergamon, as it is also stated. In verse 14, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. Moreover, you also have those who hold the doctrines of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And we will find that Nicolaitans is connected with those who eat meats sacrificed to idols. But first of all, how do we understand them? Take the word Nicolaitans. According to those who are knowledgeable in languages and word origins, etymologists, they break it down into two different words. The first is niko, or nikao, which means to overcome, to rule, to dominate. That's the first half. The second one comes from laos, meaning people. Well, which people? Well, we're talking about the Church of God, aren't we? The seven churches. So the Nicolaitans constitute a group who dominate the people of God. And this is the first part of the Nicolaitans, because here is the beginning, the origins of a hierarchical clergy that is going to stand between God and his people. And God hates that. Don't you get between me and my people. Don't you filter my words, my thoughts, so that, well, God says whatever we say he says. The Bible says whatever we interpret it to mean. God hates that. And this is the first aspect of the Nicolaitans. But there's a second aspect to it. And this is the one I really want to concentrate on this morning. But to order understand that, you need to understand the concept of Hebraism. So what is Hebraism? This is the practice of taking a Hebrew word or a Hebrew phrase and writing it out in another language. In this case, Greek. So we're going to take Greek word or phrase, and we're going to spell it, or rather a Hebrew word or phrase, and we're going to spell it in Greek. So let's take a look at Nicolaitans from Hebrew to Greek. And we find out it comes from nahal or nahala, which means to eat. Now we're talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols and so forth. We're going to see exactly how that plays out. Let's see an example of the word in the book of 2 Kings. So let's go, and we're going to go, I'm sorry, not 2 Kings, but Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Now hold your place there in Revelation, because we're coming right back. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread, wear our own clothing. Only let us be called by your name." Now, the reason I had you turn there is just to see that phrase, "We will eat." That is from Nachal or Nochel, depending upon whether it's singular, masculine, feminine, plural, what have you. Now, back to Revelation. This Nachal comes from the Hebrew, as I said. So you see, Nachala or Nachala. It's all the same. It's a Hebrew word translated into Greek. And if you really take it for what it means the let us eaters, or we will eat what we will eat. We will eat forbidden food. We will eat no matter what anybody says that we should not eat. So they were eating, in reality, food sacrificed to idols is what they were doing. In essence, they were compromising the word of God, his instructions, in order to get along with the world. They were honoring Roman gods in order to have peace in the Roman world. So they had one foot in the church, as it were, and one foot out in the Greco-Roman world. God said he hates that. It's almost like Laodiceans. Remember what God said about them in chapter 3? We won't necessarily read it, but he said, "I would that you were hot or cold, but you're neither. I would that you weren't even part of my body, the body of Christ, or that you were on fire for me, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might." But they were in between. So God says he hated that. He says it's all or nothing. You can't say, "Well, I'm a good person. I come to church." But, you know, sometimes you just have to lie a little. Sometimes you have to deceive. Sometimes you just have to get along with the world. God would have none of it. He never did. But this was the Nicolaitans. Now, we said what you were going to eat. Look at what these were Gentiles. The church at first was Jewish. For the first several decades, it was almost entirely Jewish. But then, of course, came the opening of the gospel to Cornelius by Peter. And then later on, the Apostle Paul was called. He was Saul, he became Paul. And then thousands upon thousands of people began coming into the church. Of course, a controversy arose. Well, they have to keep the law. They've got to be Jews. You've got to become a Jew first, and then you can become a Christian. But first, you've got to keep all the law. That was finally resolved at the Jerusalem Conference. But notice what the Jerusalem Conference said about these Gentiles and what they were supposed to do. Acts 15. Let's look at Acts 15. And we'll see the decision that was made. Acts chapter 15, and we will pick it up in verse 28, 29. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no further burden upon you than these necessary things, to abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well." Well, what about the rest of the law? What about thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, and so forth? Well, they didn't worry about that because these were God-fearers, and they were attending the synagogues, and they heard Moses preached on a regular basis. The apostles didn't need to tell them about that, but they did emphasize these four things. Why? Because these four conditions is what they faced almost every day in the Greco-Roman world. If you wanted to eat meat, about your only source were the pagan temples where meats were sacrificed to the gods. Eating food, that had been the animals of which had been strangled. Drinking the blood. This was common in the Greco-Roman world. And fornication, sexual licentiousness, the Greek world and the Roman world was rife with that. So these were the four items that that God said through his church, you Gentiles who are coming in, cease from these, and you will do well. But look what the Nicolaitans were doing. Back to Revelation chapter 2. And we will pick it up in verse 14. Now this is to the church of Pergamos. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who taught the teaching or hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. So here were the Nicolaitans who were doing this. They said, well, we're in services. We're honoring God. But you see, we're getting along in the Roman world. See, if we're so persecuted, we can't worship God. So therefore, we have to honor these Roman gods. And we have to participate in these temple rites. But of course, we're coming back to church. We're attending services. We're listening to Moses being preached. But what does God say? Verse 16. Repent. He said, I'll have none of that. You are not to do that. But they were doing it. So, and they were doing it spiritually as well. Drop down to the church of Thyatira. You will notice here, in the verse of Thyatira here, in verse, verse 18. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, he who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now, verse 20. But I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, you had these seven churches. They were contemporary, and they were on a mail route. But also, they're indicative of the church down through the ages. So here we have an indication that eating things sacrificed to idols and fornication is more than just physical fornication, or more than simply eating meats that were sacrificed to literal idols. It's spiritual. Let's take a look at chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 17 and verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. This isn't sexual, literal sexual fornication. This is mindset. This is belief system. This is a way of life. This is following the great whore, listening to her doctrines, her beliefs. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication, the wine of her doctrine. Dropping down to verse 4. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and was adorned with gold and pearls, precious stones. And she had a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. In this case, we're talking about beliefs. We're talking about doctrines. So Nicolaitans, today, for example, would be those who, well, they may be belong to a church, any church. Oh, yes, yes, I come. Oh, I praise the Lord. And yes, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Of course, once he's out of the church, once he's off out of services, who knows what he's doing? All kinds of activities, but they're not of God. Ostensibly, yes, but one foot in the church and one foot out there in the modern world. God says, repent, I will have none of it. So these are what we have, the Nicolaitans. And they indeed are different. They really are. So, they wanted to compromise with the Roman world like people today want to compromise with the system. It's entertainment, it's activities. Well, you know, sometimes I have to spend an hour or so on the Sabbath doing this or doing that, you know. But I'll be in services tomorrow. I really will. And I pray and I thank and I pay my tithes and offerings. See, I'm a good person. Well, yes and no. Yes, it's good that you're coming to services. It's good that you acknowledge God. But God says, wait a minute. Hold it. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. I'm not going to have any of this. You are either with me or you are not. You are either wholeheartedly my sons and daughters or you are not. None of this saying one thing, but then eating meats sacrificed to idols. That is false doctrines and compromising with my instruction. These are Nicolaitans, and I say to you, we've got millions of them today. Lots of us are Nicolaitans. Hopefully, we're not Nicolaitans, but out there, a lot of them. God warns and says not to be that way. In fact, he has a pun in a way. It's very interesting. Let's take a look at Revelation 2 and chapter 7. And take a look at this. Only God would think of putting it like this. Revelation 2 and chapter 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at the comparison. He says, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, whether physical or spiritual in the sense of false doctrine. If you will stop eating that stuff, which I say to you, don't eat of it, I in turn will allow you to eat of the tree of life. You give up that food, which is not really food at all, leads to death. Give that up, come to me, and I will give you the tree of life. I will give you food that will cause you to live forevermore. See, God knows that we cannot have a Roman ride indefinitely. Sooner or later, if you have one foot in the church, one foot with God, and one foot with the world, you're going to go all to one or all to the other. You cannot forever make that Roman ride. You cannot forever have split loyalties. It just won't work. So unless you repent and come out of that world and both feet with God, you're going to slide out of God's way and into the world. You just will. So for us, it is simple. We need to make sure that we are not Nicolaitans.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.